Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining us here. Today, I'm going to be preaching about the thought, possessing your promise. God has incredible promises for your life. Come on, check this out. I believe you're going to be blessed today. I want to speak this morning about the thought, possess your promise. And thank you very much. I want to speak this morning about the thought, possess your promise. That's good. And you know, this morning has been a real wrestle for me. Not because I ever have to wrestle with getting up to speak, but I've been so conflicted about what do I speak about. I've got about 57 different thoughts going on in my head, and I've wrestled literally until the moment that I stood up on stage. God, which direction do I go in? And I know that whenever there's a wrestle, whenever there's a battle for something, the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. And whenever there's a wrestle or a battle for something, I know that God is getting ready to do something. And I want to speak this morning about possessing our promise. Are you ready to go? That's good. You know, I believe that God wants to move in our life. I believe that God wants to move on our life. I spoke a few weeks ago about the power of the Holy Spirit, how God wants to move in us, God wants to move on us, and God wants to move through us. God is a God who is on the move. Like, how do you know that? Well, it says in Genesis chapter 1 that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and there was a Holy Spirit hovering over the earth. That word hover also means to flutter or to shake. So there was the Holy Spirit shaking the planet before there was ever mankind here to be shaken. There was a Holy Spirit shaking the planet before planet shakers ever existed. See, planet shakers can be planet shakers because that is the very nature of God. He is the one who shook the planet before we were even here, there, even here to experience that. So God was on the move. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus promises you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit moved. So God is a God that is on the move. What exactly does he want to do in our life? Well, not long after we see the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1 moving on the face of the earth, it says this in verse 27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and govern it. That was the mandate God created humans with. To be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and govern it. Another word for that is to rule and to reign. It is your mandate in life. It was the same then. It is the same now. For God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His plans and purposes are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love the book of Romans 11 says God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. God will not call them back. So God has put this call upon mankind to rule and to reign, to fill and to govern and to multiply. That is the call of God on your life. We cannot do that without possessing. We cannot do that without moving forward. So God is on the move. God is a God who moves, and he wants to move you. His mandate is still applicable today. And I love this. God empowers us. God's nature to move. He wants to move you forward. And I want to talk about this thought, possess your promise. And I want to speak out of the story of Joshua this morning. It says this in Joshua chapter 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant, and he said, Moses, my servant is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. Verse 3 will be where we speak from today. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I've given you. Every place you put your foot, you will be on land that God has given you. That's God's promise to Joshua. It's God's promise today. But I want you to notice this. You cannot put your foot somewhere without moving. It's a very simple thought, really, isn't it? God is a God who moves, but God wants you to move in life as well. God wants to move you forward. You can't possess something without going somewhere. You got to get out there and put your foot somewhere before God's promise lines up with your action. No, wherever you put your foot, God doesn't say, I'm going to give you something and then you can go there. He goes, no, 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 go there. I've given it to you. Yeah. Wherever you put your foot, you're going to be on land that I've given you. That was God's promise to Joshua. But check this out. How did Joshua go about this? Joshua chapter 5 says this. It says, at that time, the Lord told Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise these Israelites. And at the sound of that word, every man crossed their legs. Sorry, no, that's not what the Bible says. So Joshua made knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel. Praise God. A few verses later, it says this in verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt. And so that place has been called Gilgal to this day. Take note, if you will, we've been speaking about Elijah and Elisha and the process of discipleship. Elijah took Elisha on. The first place they went to was this place of Gilgal. But rewind, we're hearing the story of Joshua. There was a cutting off that happened that day. And God shows us in verse 9, the symbolism of that is, today I have cut off the past from you. They cut off, God was cutting off the journey that they'd been on through the wilderness. God was cutting off their journey out of slavery. See, God knew that they would not get very far with their feet if their head was back in the wilderness. God knew they wouldn't get very far with their feet if their heart was back in slavery. There was a cutting off that happened that day. This was a place of consecration. The physical act was meant to signify the act that was taking place in their heart and in their mind, that their slavery, their past, their wandering in the wilderness was being cut off. Their identity was no longer slaves. Their identity was no longer wanderers. Their identity was children of God. You see, circumcision was the symbol, was the sign, that's a child of God. And that's something that had been established for hundreds of years, but had fallen away. God was re-establishing their identity. See, he hadn't just brought them to a new location. He wanted to bring them into a new revelation. No more slavery, no more wilderness, no more wandering, no more aimlessly just walking around in life. No, you're my child. You don't have to beg, borrow, or steal. You're my child, and I've provided for you. Come on, somebody. You see, God knew that you can take the children out of the wilderness, but you gotta take the wilderness out of the children. You can take the people out of slavery, but you also gotta take the slavery out of people. You can take the person out of sin, but you also gotta get the sin out of the person. I don't know if you've ever heard these stories over and over. We seem to hear them in the news of people who win massive amounts of money in the lottery. Their entire life is changed, flying around on private jets, drinking champagne for breakfast, rolling around in their Bentley, got their big old gold chains going on. Bless them, they're having a wonderful old time. But these people who came from poverty, I mean, you can look it up online. There's so many stories, people who came from poverty and won these massive windfalls. Years later, you go and find their life, it's actually at a lower place and a worse off place than where they started over here before the lottery. Why? Because they won all of this money and the money took them out of poverty, but the poverty was still in them. They had no idea how to steward what they had. They had no idea how to be fruitful with what they had. They had no idea how to grow and how to handle what had been given to them. And so because they were still in poverty up here and in poverty in here, they may have had all of this money, but the truth is they never had the money. The money had them. See, God understood with these people. God understood with his children that he needed to cut off their old way of doing things. They were about to step into the promised land. They were about to step into abundant blessing, into land and cities and industries and wealth and crops and livestock, this land flowing with milk and honey. And God wanted to get slavery and the wilderness out of their hearts and out of their minds, because if you try and step into your future with the past in your heart, you'll forever be pulled back there. Physically here, but spiritually back there. Physically here, but mentally and emotionally back there. And instead of being set free into our future, into possessing the promises of God, we can allow our past to dictate our present reality. I wonder what might God need to set us free from today? What might God need to cut off from us today? See, for Joshua, it's a crazy thought I had while I was reading this. I'd never thought this. It's not a revolutionary thought, but I just never really paid much attention to it. But if you know the story, over and over, people say to him, be strong and courageous. Moses said it to him before he died. He said, Joshua, you need to understand the Lord will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Then God comes and commissions him, says, be strong and courageous. Says it again a few sentences later, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Why would we need to say that to Joshua so many times if he wasn't strong and courageous? It's because he wasn't. He was weak and fearful. So God needed to tell him, this is who you are. You're strong and courageous. Forget your old way of thinking. You are strong and courageous. Forget the weakness. Forget the fear. You are strong and courageous. Over and over and over again, they needed to drill that into his thinking so that he cut off his old way of thinking. You see, Joshua grew up in slavery. Moses was born into slavery, but they put him in a basket and he floated his way down into greatness. Moses grew up in greatness, so it was not usual for him to think of being fearful and weak. But Joshua grew up in slavery. All he knew was captivity. All he knew was the wilderness. And so when he got ready to lead, when he got ready to conquer, he was not a man of war, he was a slave. But God needed to cut off his slave thinking and said, be strong, be courageous. That's what a leader is. That's what a man of God is. That's what a conqueror. You're strong and courageous. That's what they needed to cut out of his thinking and out of his living, to be strong and courageous. He needed to learn to see himself as God saw him. I wonder what it is that God might need to change in your thinking today. How we view ourselves, how we value ourselves is of the utmost importance. Do you view yourself as God views you? Do you value the call upon your life the same way God does? Do you see yourself as strong and courageous? Do you see God as your provider no matter what's in front of you? Do you see God as your breakthrough and your healer no matter what you're going through? Do you see God as God over the storm no matter how big the storm gets? Because the reality is that He is, but I wonder what in our past might be holding us back to a different reality. God has incredible promises for us, but I believe that God also wants to help you cut off the things in your past that are holding you back. You can't change your past, but God can change your future. Come on, check out the rest of this message. I believe it's going to bless you.
Somebody say, possess the promise. Possess the promise. See, when God is getting ready to move you forward, when you are getting ready to possess the land, you need to make sure that you're free of the past before you move into your future. Because if you take your past into your future, you'll recreate the prison of your past pain in your present reality. There was no point living like a slave in the promised land. There's no point living like a wanderer in the promised land. Limitations of the previous season may have been fine for where you were. The Israelites had to get up and trust God every morning in the wilderness that God would provide for them. They had to get up and trust God that the manna would be there again. Morning after morning after morning, some of them didn't trust God. They didn't trust Him, so they went out and gathered more than a day's worth of manna, and they found out very quickly, no, trust God. He'll come through day after day after day. But the miracles of the wilderness were for the wilderness. When they stepped into the promised land, the manna stopped flowing. Why? Because it was a different way of doing life. God was saying, here's wealth, but I'm giving it to you in seed form. Here's some cities, but you got to go and conquer them. Here's the crops, but you got to go and take a hold of them. Here's the livestock ready to go, but you got to go and capture it. Here's the land that I'm giving you, but you got to go and possess it. It's no good just stepping out of your tent and waiting for a wilderness kind of miracle. No, you're a child of God. See, God needed to cut off the past from them so that the past didn't have a hold of them. But the thing is, the past having a hold of us is not the only thing that can hold us back, but sometimes it's us having a hold of the past. See, not only did God need to cut off the mentality of a slave and a mentality of a wilderness and say, no, you're my child, that's your identity now. We're in the promised land, that's your identity. But sometimes it's not just the past that can hold us, but us holding on to the past. See, when we have unforgiveness in our heart, anytime we decide not to let someone or something from our past go, we tie ourselves back to that situation. I want to read from the book of Matthew. It says this in chapter 18. Verse 21, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? Peter thought that was quite generous. Commonly, some people write that it was common to forgive someone 1, 2, maybe 3 times. Now, Peter thought he was being generous by going to Jesus and saying, seven times? That's abundant. That's even more than a double portion. I'm going to give you forgiveness. Jesus said, nah, you're not even in the ballpark. How about 70 times seven? If you're good at maths, you'll know straight away that's 490 times. Jesus wasn't literally giving us a formula for the 490 time forgiveness. And if someone offends you the 491st time, then you have permission from the Lord to hate them. That wasn't what Jesus was saying. Jesus was really saying infinitely, a number greater than you could ever imagine. Peter was thinking three, he doubled it. He thought, oh, maybe double it plus one, let's give it seven. Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. It goes on, it says that Jesus tells a story saying, therefore the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one man who owed him millions of dollars, one of his debtors, was brought in. He couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and children and everything he owned just to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. And the master was filled with pity and compassion and he released him and forgave the entire debt. It's a pretty generous act. Millions of dollars forgiven. And when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars and grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me, I'll pay it, he pleaded, but his creditor would not wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you the tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? And then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he'd paid his entire debt. This is what unforgiveness is like. See, friend, in the eyes of God, we owe a debt that we could never pay. Enoch, you can come if you've forgiven me. I'm in strife. He obviously wasn't listening to that scripture. Right, Enoch, we're praying for you. Whenever you feel to come, praise the Lord. He might be out the back. Praise God. He's genuinely not here. You know, this is what our life is like. We owe this tremendous debt to God. Compared to God's perfection, we are so far away from it. The greatest person in this room, the most well-behaved person in here, the most perfect of us all in this room is nothing compared to God's holiness and perfection. The debt that we owe to God, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We owe a debt like this man did, like millions of dollars. We are so far away from being able to pay that debt. But God came with Jesus' sacrifice and forgave our entire debt. And the picture of this story is like us then going out there, grabbing someone by the throat who maybe wronged us once or twice and demanding instant payment. What happened to this poor man who did that? The Bible tells us he ended up going to prison. The prison he was set free from, because he tried to hold someone else up to that standard of perfection, he ended up locking himself up in it. And if we don't deal with our past, if we don't get these things out of our heart, not just once, but daily, there are people in this room you need to forgive others. There are others in this room you need to forgive yourself. There are even some of us in this room you need to forgive God. You're like, why would we ever need to forgive God? Isn't God perfect? Yeah. But sometimes we can place our own expectations upon God. And when God doesn't answer our prayers the way we thought He might, we have unforgiveness towards Him in our heart. And when we hold unforgiveness in our heart, I've heard it said once, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person will get hurt. See, unforgiveness, when we choose to forgive someone, when we choose to give to them our forgiveness, when we give to them, it's not necessarily because they deserve it. When we forgive ourselves, let's be honest, it's not because we deserve it. When we are forgiving, it is to set us free. And this story of the children of Israel having to go through this moment of sacrifice and consecration before they stepped into possession, it's a great illustration to us to say, God has so much for us to possess, but He's got to get the past out. The limitations of our previous past may have been fine for back then, but they're not what God has for us for the future. We may have been able to survive with them back then, but God wants to set us free for where He's taking us. He wants to cut off unforgiveness. He wants to cut off the past. He wants to cut off the old way of thinking, our slave mindset or our wilderness mindset, the way we used to think back yesterday, the way we were living yesterday, the things we had in our heart yesterday, He wants to cut off for today, for where He's taking us tomorrow. Because friend, you must understand, the land is very real to be possessed. The possession God has for us is incredible. God has promises. God has wealth. God has cities. God has other churches. God has a possession for you to possess. But He wants to set you free from your past. What is it that He might want you to possess? I believe there's so much more here in Melbourne for us to possess, that when you step into your workplace tomorrow, you're there to possess it in the name of Jesus. And of course, Joshua may have battled with a sword and with a spear. Our fight, our battle is not with sword and spear. The Bible says we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We battle in the Spirit. So as we're filled with the Spirit, freed from our past, we're there to possess the promises of the future God has for us. A future with freedom, with healing, with provision, with breakthrough. Everywhere we step, we are on land that God has given us to possess, with the love of Jesus, with the power of Jesus, with the freedom of Jesus, with the breakthrough, with the provision. Oh, come on, somebody. God's got promises for you to possess in your life. All over this room, I want to invite us when we stand to our feet. With a battle in my heart this morning of what direction to go in. Because I believe there's a battle for people's future going on this morning. That the promises of God, Pastor Andy shared about this last week, the promises of God over your life are yes and amen. But if we keep tying ourselves back to a past of no restriction, limitation, lack, and loss, we won't know how to live in the future of yes and amen. God's promises over you are yes and amen. But you got to allow God to cut this past off. Maybe in you. You know that in an area of your thinking, in an area of your heart, you've been living like a slave. Been wandering around in the wilderness. In slavery, the Israelites probably wondered if there was a God. In the wilderness, the Israelites knew there was a God, but was just wondering if He'd come back tomorrow. But in the promised land, we have the promise of His presence with us every single day. Moses challenged Joshua. He said, God will never leave you. Be strong and courageous. God will never leave you. Be strong and courageous. God will always be with you. Be strong and courageous. God will not forsake you. He was trying to get out that old way of thinking. God will not leave you. God is for you. He is not against you. God is on your side. Yes, that person may have done the wrong thing to you. God is for you. Yes, you may have messed up in your past. God is for you. Yes, you may have had a prayer that you thought God didn't answer. God is still on your side. And Moses was trying to change Joshua's thinking. God is for you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Your future is yes and amen with God. Just get rid of the past. Let go of the past. Get rid of unforgiveness. Let God cut that off. He's taken you into your promises.
pray today that this message spoke to you. Maybe there were some things in your life that were holding you back. Maybe you were holding on to some of the things in your past, but whatever it is, I pray that you are set free. We believe that the best is yet to come. God has incredible promises for your life. Hey, we would love to hear from you. You can go onto our website, planetshakers.com. Let us know any praise reports, any testimonies you got, any prayer requests. Come see us on social media as well, at Planet Shakers on all the platforms. And why don't you check out some of our brand new music available on iTunes right now. Legacy Part 2 is going to bless you, is going to help you encounter God. Have the greatest day. Bless you.